question that we have before us is, what is the difference between a movement and an organization? Well, the question hinges on your definition of organization, because it's impossible to have a movement that's disorganized and it still be an effective movement. And let's face the fact that we are an organization. This movement is an organization. But it's not an organization that is patterned after the kingly power system of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, of the Roman Church, or of the Jewish Church. This is what we would term a new covenant organization, in which the believers all operate not under any human head, but under the direction of the Spirit of Christ. And thus it is that the believers in the movement work together, each one guided by the Spirit, and yet in perfect harmony. And of course, that's only possible when each person, of course, has the indwelling presence of God's Spirit in the heart. Let's go back a moment to 1833 again. It seems as if I have a favorite on this history, but never mind, it helps a great deal. Between that year, 1833 and 1863, we have a span of nothing less than 30 years. And that's quite a span of time. And during that time, the Church of God did not have a General Conference President. It did not have a General Conference Committee. It did not have any form of human leadership in the sense that what one man told other men what to do and where to preach and where to go and so forth. And yet we find that during that time the movement was extremely successful, did the will of God, and was able to win thousands upon thousands of folk to the truth of God. Well, some folk turn around and say, well, very well and good, but they're only a very, very small movement at that time. But just a moment, at the height of it, there were 50,000 people in that movement during the last months of 1844, everyone working as busy as bees, with no overlapping, no needless expenditure of time and money, everything going like clockwork as they spread the gospel during the midnight cry. How many folk were there in 1863 when they built their first organizational system? I don't know exactly, but there was only 2,000 or 3,000 at the best. That's all. Only a few thousand. Far, far less than that number up there. So numbers were not the problem. The problem was that after 1844, there eventually began that apostasy. And Sister White said back in 1856 that they had begun to become lukewarm and Laodicean and in need of the gold, the white raiment, and the eye salve, which meant they were in need of the indwelling presence of the Spirit. And as they fell away from God, they lost their connection with God. And no longer could the Spirit of God lead them directly and personally in their efforts to spread the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Therefore, it became needful that men of strong character who did have some connection with God should then occupy positions of leadership where they directed other men as to what they do, and rules of discipline and control and so forth came in to control all these elements in the church. Now, it had been God's plan, of course, that the people of God should have been in the kingdom before that time. And if they had have been, then that system of organization that began in 1863 would never, never have come into existence. Never. All right. Now, what came in? The voting system, a democracy in which the power is given to the people. And by the voting system, the people have the say as to how the movement shall be run. Now, you show me anywhere in history a democracy which is of the people, for the people, and by the people, and I will show you a government which eventually became only of the devil, for the devil, and by the devil. America today is one of the best democracies of all time. A government which is of the people, for the people, and by the people. But Bible prophecy shows us that tomorrow it will be what? Of the devil, for the devil, and by the devil. Isn't that true? Now, the only kind of government that can possibly and successfully carry through the loud cry must be a church, movement, and organization which is of the Lord, by the Lord, and for the Lord. None other. Now, supposing, for instance, we had the voting system introduced into this movement, where all you folk, and me too, and I too, had a say in how this movement shall be run. And make no mistake about it, I am one of the people, and I have no more say in this than you folk do. God gives me my work to do, and I go and do it. God gives you your work to do, and you go and do it. True? And I don't control what you do, and you can't control what I do. Who controls you and the work you do? God's Spirit. And who controls me? The same Spirit. And do we find any disharmony between us, or do we work along together? There's no friction, no trouble at all. First of all, I go to Europe, where Wolfgang Meyer is in charge of that country. Here we have a situation which is very interesting to me, and I'm very thrilled with the way in which it's working out. Because Wolfgang, and you'll see his photograph tonight on the screen, is quite a young man, under 30 still, with a wife and three very, very small children, the youngest being only a month or so old now. Now this young man, who I could possibly give the best part of 20 years to, learnt the message directly from me, and then came after me into the German field, when the movement was already existing, was already financially sound, organized, and moving along as a cohesive movement. He didn't go back to Germany with the intention of taking it over, but in God's own wonderful way, he led Wolfgang into the position of leader in that country, and when he did, then I recognized what God was doing. Without being told by any man, I quietly stepped back and stood behind and no longer in front of Wolfgang. Now, when I go to Europe, I don't do what would be done in an ordinary earthly organization, where you have a general conference president and so forth, who is the big wig and the big top, and expects to have all the rest bow at the snap of his fingers. When I go there as Wolfgang's servant. And I go where he wants me to go. I teach where he wants me to teach, because he is the man who is God's leader in that country, and we just work together in the most perfect possible harmony. There's no question about who should do which. It's just as clear in our minds as it can possibly be. And I'm so thrilled with that setup, because I can see it's the way God would have it. It's in perfect order and harmony with his truth. Now, yes, supposing then that we all had the voting system in this movement. Very good. Now, during the loud cry period, the majority of the people then will be foolish virgins. And a foolish virgin has just as much voting power as a wise virgin, don't they? But on whose side are they going to vote? God's side or Satan's side? Satan's side. And as surely as we have that kind of organization, then just so surely would we be instantly disqualified to give the loud cry. God couldn't risk it, because he knew it would be doomed to failure before it began. Just think of what would have happened if back in the wilderness Moses had said to the people, let's vote about whether we should go back to Egypt or not. You know what would happen, don't you? It would completely wreck God's plans. And you'll find that never in history do we have God's true church, when it's spirit-filled, being led by the voting system. It just doesn't work that way. God is the leader. He directs my paths. He directs your paths. And when someone comes to me and asks me, what shall I do with my life? I say, look, I'm not your master. I can't tell you. God hasn't told me what you're to do. If you wish to know, go and wait patiently upon the Lord, and he'll tell you your duty just as surely as God tells me my duty. And when we're organized as a movement upon those lines, then we have God as our leader, and we cannot help but be a success. But in closing, here's this final point. That kind of organization is possible only when every believer is filled with the Spirit. And the evidence of your being filled with the Spirit is the fact that you have lost the carnal nature and have a new life in the place of the old. Now, does that answer the question? If not, don't be afraid to ask more. But don't be afraid to say that we are an organization, because we are an organization.